University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Education, Professor Diane Manica.
Well, good afternoon. It's good to be here in this cold spring. Did I say spring day?
Do you agree with me, Diane? I think the colder it is, the more the students actually study. I'm thankful for the weather at the end of the term this way. Seriously. I'm very serious.
I'm glad you think that.
If you got people out there in shorts tossing a frisbee around, they're not studying for your final. That's all I'm saying.
True enough. But I would say that there are more in bed today where it's nice and warm versus walking
that's true
the campus.
Too. Okay. All right. No, you're right. I think that it's probably a mixture of the two, but this is a late spring in
spring?
Detroit area.
Did you say spring?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. The calendar told me so.
Okay,
so you know, but I keep writing W13 on all my documents. I can't shake winter, no matter how hard I try. How about you, Professor Jeff Boats from Mathematics and a Million Other Things?
I'm down about the weather. My baseball team hasn't practiced yet because it's been wet and cold, or wet
and
cold, and.
And cold and wet.
I think Monday we're finally going to get on the field somewhere.
That's great. So, like, how late does that put you? Like, almost 2 weeks behind or what?
Probably around there. The season doesn't start till like, the last week of May, so we got time. But
This is a big deal for you, though. You got to get limber.
Well, I'm a catcher, so that's not so bad. But we have pitchers who – we got this one guy who may join the team and may not, but he played minor league a couple of years ago.
Wow.
Steve Scheffler, he's a friend of Steve's.
Yeah. Okay.
So he sent him our way, and thanks, Steve. I looked up his records, and he's good.
So we have a ringer this year. That's great.
If he plays for us,
Fantastic. Yeah, well, I hope it actually dries out for you.
Hardball, yeah.
Excellent.
It's like Little League for grown-ups.
Dan Maggio of the First Corporation, do you like to play hardball?
I do not.
Oh, okay. I was talking about, like, dealing with employees and, you know, I mean, things like
no,
that.
No, I'm not a tough guy.
Oh,
okay. Oh, please.
I thought you were pretty tough when I had you for class.
Oh, it's because you were pretty bad.
Here we go.
Boy, that's, that was way faster than I thought we were going to get there.
You're an outstanding student.
Stop. You don't even remember that. You don't even remember that class.
As a professor.
There we go.
I've said it a million times. Dan can draw a three-dimensional coordinate diagram without having to go back and modify anything and just blew our minds away with, you know, let's just trace out a function for a sphere. And we were all like unbelievable.
Cool.
On a chalkboard, by the way. On a chalkboard.
Do they even do that anymore?
Before whiteboards
are they even
were
chalkboards
invented.
At the campus anymore?
There's some.
There's one on the first floor of engineering that I think they keep as like a historical
site. In 134?
Site. Like you can't demolish that room anymore because it's been there for a while and they have to preserve it, you know.
Yeah. Benvenuto kept the one in his office and he says that it's there because it's more green than using a marker, which is in some interesting ways
true.
So, we also have a visitor with us today. The Dean of the College of Engineering and Science, Gary Kulak, is here with us. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you, Matt. I look forward to participating. It looks like a lot of fun. And I should point out I'm coming from Los Angeles, Southern California. And don't even have a winter term. It's spring term. So this has been the change in culture.
So you seriously have a fall term and then a spring term?
Yes.
Wow.
There's no winter.
Yeah.
Literally or figuratively.
Changing culture as in throat culture, testing for strep. It's got to be a new
bacteria.
For you.
Bacteria.
Yes, exactly. Check for viruses too. Last but most certainly not least, Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies. How's it going, Dave?
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent.
No
excellent.
Complaints.
No complaints?
No, I like
not even
this
about
weather.
The weather?
No, I'm a Canadian boy. This is summer.
That's right. This is local late spring Detroit versus Medicine Hat.
This
I'm guessing
is
it's a little bit different. Yeah, exactly.
It's Trump change.
This is tanning weather up there.
Darn right. What we're tanning, we're not sure yet. That's all.
Wow.
Tanning moose hide.
Well, folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166. Or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. Bonus points for knowing your ZIP plus 4. That's what I always say. When we last left our heroes, we had a couple questions left in a wonderfully crafted set from our expatriate American living in Paris, France. Mark Neymark is his name. And if you remember, these were all about capitals and capitoles.
So
he should.
Yeah. Oh, he would know this stuff. Mike would be going nuts. You know? So he gave us 20 questions. We just crossed over to question 12, which we'll start with now and see how you guys do. West Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, and East Jerusalem one of the capitals of Jordan until the reunification of the city after the Six-Day War of 1967. East Berlin was the capital of the German Democratic Republic until the transfer of the capital of the German Federal Republic from Bonn to Berlin in 1990. At least one capital remains in a divided city. Can you name it? Still divided to this day. Ooh. Any ideas? For the record, I asked this question on our last show, but we never got to the answer. So double the time to do the research.
Right.
Yeah.
Which none of us did.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Study. I mean, how about I go for partial credit, because it looks like the gears are already just a little bit slow at the end of what we here at UDM call dead week. It's European by some measure. It's the Republic of Cyprus and the Turkish Republic of North Cyprus share a capital. What's the name of that capital? Starts with the letter N.
No.
Nicosia. Can we call your son? Nicosia.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, it's Nicosia. That's right. Absolutely. Wonderful.
Yes.
Saved our bacon.
Says the division between the two cities is still called the Green Line. Literally a green line painted on the ground. Very interesting.
Better than a wall.
Better than a wall. Lucky number 13. What's the connection between William Thornton and Pierre L'Enfant?
Brothers?
They are not brothers.
Cousins. Second cousins.
It has to do with capitals?
It sounds Canadian.
It has to do with capitals. Washington, D.C. is the connection. Yes. Thornton designed the Capitol with an O. L'Enfant laid out the plan for Washington, D.C., which, of course, is the same plan that we use here in the city. A central system with radiating avenues. Yes, exactly.
Hence L'Enfant's Plaza.
That's right. Exactly. Yes. Yep. So, yeah, he has the, was it, northeast, southeast, northwest, and southwest quadrants of the city meet. And Detroit, of course, is missing the southeast quadrant because there's a river in
South
the way.
Detroit.
Yeah, South Detroit. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Now it's called Windsor, right?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Go south to go to Canada, of course. Under the U.S. Capitol, you may not have known, is a crypt. What was it supposed to house? And what does it actually house today?
It's where Nick Cage's career is buried. After that,
it's still there.
The sequel.
That was a good one.
Yes, National Treasure. Where have you been?
Yes, National Treasure 3: In Search of My Career.
Oh my gosh.
Grant?
That's great. I know my wife would know this. It has nothing to do with Grant.
Grant.
I'm sorry.
Is it the? It's not the Declaration of Independence.
No.
Some documents.
There is a hint in the fact that they called it the crypt. I can tell you that. It was part of the design of the Capitol.
George Washington.
Thornton. Yeah, it was supposed to be Washington's tomb. Supposed to be Washington's tomb. Today, the plans fell through because, of course, he was buried in Mount Vernon. It now has a gift shop. Pretty much covers all the bases.
Where you can buy some of his hair.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Very inexpensive.
Said they had to get permission from Martha Washington. When the time came to move the body, basically he really, really, really wanted to be buried at Mount Vernon. So the state said, forget it. We'll just keep him there. Pretty interesting.
Like he had a choice in the matter.
Well, you know, I'd rather fertilize the artichokes than the gift shop. You know, whatever. In 1814, during the War of 1812, parentheses, ha-ha, the British burned Washington. We know the White House is white because it was painted over to cover scorch marks. But of the other two branches of government, only one of either the Capitol, Ol, or the Supreme Court building avoided the fate of the White House. Which one was not burned, and how did it escape? That's a good question. This is a good question.
Okay, now, if you were about to torch a city, which building would you leave alone?
Oh, I know. They painted it with flames to make it look, to make it look like
fire.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a great one.
One house lawyers, and you wanted to avoid the...
No. That would be more incentive, wouldn't it? The lawyers are in there. Get them.
Oh, my. So there is a trick to this question, so I'll give you half of the answer. The answer is the Supreme Court. Because it didn't have its own building until 1935. But that's only part of the trick.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Any ideas? Technically, the Supreme Court did burn in 1814 because it was in the Capitol, and they set the Capitol on fire. So everything burned. They burned all three.
It was a trick.
Says, this was supposed to be a trick question, therefore I'm hoping you were tricked.
I think it worked.
Well done.
On multiple levels.
Well done.
Wow, 1935. That's pretty you know, late, early. Hey, Jason.
Speaking of late and early.
Professor Roach.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good to see you guys, too.
Come on in.
Grab a seat. Set a spell.
Got some more questions about Capitoles and Capitals and falling coffee makers.
Did it really?
I don't know.
No, I think it's good.
You're okay.
Jeff has not been burned yet.
Why is the dome, professors, of the Capitole at risk? It's at severe risk, according to my wife, the historian. Severe risk.
Foundation? Water?
Mm-hmm.
Metal.
Metal is part of what I see here. It looks like cracks in the masonry have allowed water to get in and rust the interior metal superstructure. It said Marx claims the Senate has appropriated funds to repair the cracks, but the House refuses to do so. So a building and roof divided on itself cannot stand.
Lovely.
Yes. Professor Tubbs from Religious Studies, we're glad to have you here.
Hello, hello.
It's actually a perfect emblem of the way there are.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Who was the last deceased president who lay in state under the Capitol Rotunda?
Reagan.
It wasn't Reagan.
Oh.
Who died after Reagan? Nixon?
No. Carter's still alive.
Ford.
Ford. It was Jerry Ford. Oh, yes, yes. Very, very good. The District of Columbia was originally made up of land ceded by Maryland and Virginia. In 1847, the Virginia section was retroceded, wonderful word, back to Virginia at the request of the people of Alexandria. What was their main motivation for getting that land back?
Taxation with representation.
Cheap mortgage.
Getting close.
Is this a Civil War thing?
It was a slave market in Alexandria. That was the reason why. Those who profited from it feared a ban in the district. Yeah, that was 1850. Pretty interesting. When Lansing was designated to succeed Detroit as capital of the state of Michigan, it was given a new name. What was that name? This is pretty weird. I've never heard this before, but
North
it's
Detroit?
Wonderful. So let me frame it for you. Lansing was founded as Lansing at a certain time. It was renamed when it became the capital, and then in 1848 they said, we're just going back to Lansing. So this must have been a really interesting name in between.
Was it like New Detroit?
No, it was not.
Or not Detroit.
It was lamer than that. I want you to think lame.
Michigalia?
It was the town of Michigan.
Michigan?
It was I believe that, you know, when we would have sang the song, it would have been town of Michigan, comma Michigan, which would have been even worse, frankly, if you
like
ask
New
me.
York,
so,
New York.
Well, that's so if like it's a west, frankly, comma Texas.
That's dumb.
So last one.
You would say the city of the town of Michigan or the town of the town of Michigan?
Town of Michigan. Yeah, the town of the town of Michigan.
Town of Michigan, Michigan.
Oh, my God.
It sounds like we're stuttering.
Yes, it's pretty bad. Thank God they brought it back to Lansing.
Yeah, I can see why.
Last one from Mark Namark of, I nearly said his address on the air. I do that every time because it sounds so cool. The architect of the current Capitole building in Lansing called his project, he called the building Tubor. Where does one commonly see this word, and what does it mean?
On the state seal.
It's the Great Seal, the state of Michigan. And what does it mean? It's so great.
We're
one of only three states that has actually two state mottos. Mm-hmm. Nothing about a peninsula.
No. What's that one? If you seek a pleasant peninsula, look about you. No, that's
right.
Not it. So.
Circumspice. But that's not it.
What's this about Old Spice?
Oh. It means so I will defend.
That's what I keep thinking of.
I will defend our right to take a break.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
And we are back with a wonderful, wonderful panel on a wonderful, wonderful spring day in Motown. And a wonderful, wonderful box of cookies from Dan. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for those questions, Mark Namark of Paris, France. We will move on to another set now. Dear Ask the Profs, thanks. I first listened to your show 30 years ago when I was a teenager.
Oh, my God.
How I enjoyed hearing you on the radio late at night. I thought I had lost that enjoyment until one day I found your podcast. It took 3 decades for me to get the courage to submit questions, but here we go. Being a good Jesuit institution, I thought that you would enjoy tackling trivia questions about atheism. Specifically, specifically, below are questions about atheists, quotes by atheists, or generally anti-religious trivia.
No wonder it took him 30 years.
At the risk of getting excommunicated, please read my trivia questions on ATP. There are 10 questions. I'll set the passing grade to 8 correct. Ooh.
Ooh.
Sincerely.
Sure he doesn't want it 66.6%? Or...
Yes. Alan Ira of Los Angeles, California. Thank you so much for calling in.
On the curve?
Can we yeah.
create 80 on a curve?
We'll see. We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. I have faith that you guys are going to be able to finish this very well. Which famous philosopher was tried, found guilty, and put to death for heresy? Professor Oljar should be able to answer this one without a hint. Of course she's not here.
She's not here today.
Oh my, too bad.
Was he put to death, or did he drink something on his own?
Well, but he was commanded to do that.
He was. Mm. He could have been told to do something. Did everybody already say Socrates?
Socrates.
Yeah, Socrates.
Yes.
Drink for the hemlock.
FYI, one of the capital offenses Socrates was charged with was impiety. For example, failing to acknowledge the gods that the city
and
also
corrupting
acknowledges.
Corrupting the
youth. Yes.
As we do on a daily basis.
Your tradition to this day, Socrates. Yes, absolutely. Who once said, not only is God dead, but just try to find a plumber on weekends? It's a great line.
George Carlin.
You're in the wheelhouse. Comics of that day.
You mean like Red Fox?
Comic filmmakers of that day.
Woody Allen?
Woody Allen is the correct answer. Yes. Yes. Wonderful, wonderful quote. Here's a multiple choice. Which country has the highest percentage of the population who self-identify as atheist? Sweden, Greece, Taiwan, none of these.
Sweden.
Sweden. Up to 85% of the population answer they do not believe in God. The other choices fall very far behind. Greece at 16%, Taiwan 24%.
I knew it wasn't Vatican City, so I mean.
Well, yeah, for the Swedes, Lutheran or atheist, you know, pick one or the other.
Pretty much. Who described... Wow, we really could get in trouble for these. Uh-oh. It's fine. Who described the Book of Mormon as, quote, chloroform in print form?
The guys who wrote South Park.
That's a great guess. Parker. But a little bit further back. How about we talk about Civil War era?
More than that.
Civil War era.
Civil War
era.
That's
when it came out.
That's exactly when it came out. Yep.
Wow.
Who is the greatest cantankerous crank of them all?
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain is the answer.
That sounds like something he would say.
Oh, my. Who said, the only person who's a worse liar than a faith healer is the patient? Extremely famous American.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln is correct.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Where'd you pull that one out of?
I just saw the movie on Saturday. But he didn't say it in the movie.
No.
Oh. No.
Excellent. In which treaty was it declared, the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion?
The Constitution. No.
Which treaty?
No, treaty.
It was a treaty.
Oh, well, the
Treaty of Paris?
It wasn't the Treaty of Paris, although it was very early on.
Does it go back to the formation of this country?
It does. 1797, this treaty was signed. So what American treaties can you remember from 1797?
Louisiana Purchase?
No, that was later. What's the capital of Libya?
Tripoli.
The Treaty of Tripoli, Article 7, 1797.
Yeah, that's where we get the part of the Marine hymn from, the shores of Tripoli.
Yeah, from the shores of Tripoli, even though it's landlocked, yes. The devout atheist, the late Christopher Hitchens, described this person as, quote, a fanatic, a fundamentalist, and a fraud. He also called this individual an Albanian dwarf. Kind of rude, if you ask me.
I was going to say it was Dan Maggio, but, you know.
Hey. I was going to say the Pope until you brought up Albania.
No, it's pretty much the modern literary equivalent of what a saint could be. Like, wow, what are you trying to do because you're acting so nice? Try to act like blank.
Mother Teresa?
Mother Teresa is what he described. It's pretty brutal.
That's harsh.
Pretty brutal.
Wow.
Yep. He was the one who tried to expose her as a fraud from the point of view of all the money that was coming in and where it was going and what have you. So, the Vatican
for clothes.
Yeah, I was going to say it wasn't for her fashion sense. Yeah.
The Vatican excommunicated only one member of the Third Reich. Who was this person, and what were they excommunicated for?
Heinrich Himmler?
It wasn't Himmler. No.
Darn.
Goebbels.
It was Goebbels. He was excommunicated for, and this is either the greatest urban legend of all time or the truth, and even far funnier.
Adultery.
No.
His fashion sense.
Oh. Well.
Let's see, what else?
He clearly didn't use contraception, so it couldn't be that.
He did genetic experiments.
It says here that he married a Protestant.
Ooh, that is true. He did.
You can kill 6 million Jews, but you marry a Protestant.
And Catholics.
And that's going overboard.
And Catholics.
Wow.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Like I said, it's either a wonderfully delicious fakery or it's the truth and it's even more wonderfully delicious. Which atheist organized the first attempted African-American march on Washington for civil rights in 1941? Hint, it was not the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Bayard?
No, that's not the name it has here. The march, for the record, was eventually canceled after Roosevelt issued the Fair Employment Act, which banned discrimination for war industry.
This is a Finkenbein question.
Yeah, where's Finkenbein when we need him?
Big impact on Detroit history, too.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
Was it a Detroit leader?
You know, I recognize the name. I'm sorry. This is going to be one of those ones where I ask for the naivete card to be played. Yeah. A. Philip Randolph is the name that's listed here. Yeah. Although his religious views varied, Randolph is usually described as an atheist. He was a civil rights leader, a union activist, and was basically socialist. He's quoted to have said, "Prayer is not one of our remedies. Depends on what one is praying for. We consider prayer nothing more than a fervent wish. Consequently, the merit and worth of a prayer depend on what the fervent wish is." There's a very, very long sentence to describe one's atheism. Very interesting.
And yet they named a vocational center after
There you go. Uh-huh. True or false? Albert Einstein once said, "I believe in God. I spell it N-A-T-U-R-E.
Yes.
Yes, what?
I'm almost positive you said that.
That is not true or false. I cannot give you credit.
Oh.
That's the leader.
I saw it on Facebook.
It must be true.
It must be true. Then.
Abraham Lincoln said, "Half of what you see on the internet is not true." Actually, it's false.
Oh.
It's false. But do you know who said it?
Okay, though. Somebody said that because I've seen it. Probably wasn't I said it.
Any idea?
Was it Neil... Was it a physicist?
It would have been a contemporary of a more design-based background.
I can't remember his last name. Neil deGrasse or whatever his name is?
No.
Design?
Oh, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Well, like Henry Ford. Was it?
Keep going.
Harley Earl.
Nope.
Edison?
Nope.
Not Albert Kahn.
Benjamin Franklin?
Not Albert Kahn, but how about...
I missed the first clue, sorry.
One of the more famous Midwestern design...
Frank Lloyd Wright?
Frank Lloyd Wright is the person who said it, yeah.
That was unexpected.
He was certainly willing to manipulate his God then.
Yeah, well, there you go. Who isn't? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I have some more questions here. We'll see how many we can get into before the engineer in the red headphones tells me shut up. Dear professors,
how many did we get on that list, though, by the way?
Oh, yeah, we got them all, as far as I'm concerned. We got them all.
Oh, so we got a little help from our friends.
That's the way I write down all of them.
I didn't know the Phillips.
No matter what. Oh, yeah, Philip Randolph. We didn't get that one, right?
Cheating is an atheist virtue, isn't it?
It's being opportunistic.
Profs, thank you so much for reading my last set of questions. I think I've achieved trivia immortality now, or... Some would call it trivial immortality. But rather than rest on my laurels or my newfound fame, I've come up with 20 more questions in what I found to be a futile attempt to stump you. My questions follow no particular theme and wander all over the map. I also was hoping for 80%. I hope my new questions are read and I can proudly brag to my family and coworkers. Beverly Hollis of Redmond, Washington. Thank you so much for sending these in, Beverly. We'll see what we can do. What famous Western actor was born Harold J. Smith?
John Wayne.
Nope. His name was
Marion
Morrissey.
Glenn Ford.
You guys have turned the actual question into another question and answered that question. However, I'm looking for Harold J. Smith. I'll tell you, there is a Western movie coming out this summer that might be a big clue for you.
The Lone Ranger?
The Lone Ranger is coming out this summer. Who is this?
Jay Silverheels,
a.k.a.?
Tonto.
The original Tonto from the TV show, right?
And yes.
Depp's playing Tonto.
Johnny Depp,
right?
Is playing
Tonto. Johnny Depp is playing Tonto. Looks actually pretty interesting. I think I'll go see it.
You got to wonder, of all the roles he plays, how does he ever take time to regain who he is?
He's always in character.
Yeah. He's crazy characters. Does he ever forget who he is?
I think that he's like on par with Cary Grant at this point. He's done so much different stuff. Like he's been in so many movies. It's just amazing.
James Franco is getting like that too.
Yeah, I think so. Who said, I was born in 1962? True. And the room next to me was 1963.
Ooh. Somebody who... Ooh.
This is a comedian who is still alive.
Joan Rivers.
Who's had a lot of plastic surgery. Yeah. Joan Rivers. Those are my...
She was not born in 62.
I believe that
in room number.
Room number 1962.
Oh, because she's 80 years old. She looks like she's...
800
How
years
old is 80 in plastic?
I don't know. I don't know.
What's the half-life of that face?
I saw her perform last year. She was here
the Andiamo?
In Andiamo. And she has one filthy mouth.
Oh, yeah. She's totally
for an 80-year-old?
Yeah. Oh,
holy cow.
Absolutely. What was the top single on the Billboard charts in 1987, for the calendar year 1987?
Is it a Rick Astley song?
This isn't a trick to get you to start singing Never Gonna Give You Up.
Is it a U2 song?
No, it is
George
not.
George Michael.
It's a relatively well-known girls group, but it wasn't Bananarama.
The Bangles.
It was the Bangles.
Okay. Walk Like an Egyptian.
Nice. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's only so many girl groups.
He remembers it like it was yesterday.
Their Best Of album is excellent.
Yeah, it is. Best Of. What is the first modern-day vending... Oh, I'm sorry. What did the first modern-day vending machine first dispense?
Gum.
It wasn't gum, but that cigarettes. I think that's reasonable. Cigarettes. It's not cigarettes either. Something a little more of a commodity of the time.
Gold. Oh.
No. Uh-huh. No.
Water. Unsolicited advice.
That's a commodity of today's time.
It's a commodity every time.
Candy?
No, it wasn't candy.
Cigars.
What if it was found in a post office?
Stamps.
Not stamps, but prepaid.
Postcards. You're kidding. The first vending machine all at... dispense was postcards. Oh.
All you had to do was write Jim Tubbs somewhere in the East Coast and it would get there, you know? Professor Chow.
See you.
Dean Kulak.
Hello.
We're saying goodbye, Gary.
We're done.
Professor Maggio.
Bye-bye.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Boats.
Hasta del fuego.
Professor Roach.
It's been real.
Professor Manica.
Au revoir.
And now these unreal words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.